Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 104. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, Nate, what's going on, brothers?
Nothing too much. Still kicking.
Still kicking, Nate.
Award-winning engineer.
Oh, he does, yes.
And Nate is your award-winning sound engineer. Okay.
Okay, that's better. Okay.
You did take that off of there, did you? Consolidation.
Just,
consolidation.
Just messing with you.
I mention it every so often. I don't want him to get so often. He's going to demand more zeros, okay?
That's right.
Yes, you are award-winning. That's a fact. So you guys doing all right? How's the week going so far?
Fact check.
It's okay.
Doing okay?
Yeah, okay.
Nate?
Doing good. Good. Yeah.
I've had a really good week. Nothing special, but just nothing bad's happened. So
That's
a good week.
It is a great week, yeah.
Does this have anything to do with ice cream? Like, I just assume that, or food of some kind?
No, nothing
to do with food. Okay.
Just a good solid week. I've been
That's
productive at work.
Signs of a good week, yeah.
Yeah.
They like it when you're productive at work.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They just like it when you show up, right?
That's half the battle.
That's half the battle.
And I get there when I get there. No, we are having a good week, I guess, and hope the creepies are whenever they listen to this episode. You know what? As of right now, it's March 1st. Mm-hmm. Beautiful day. March came in nice. Ooh, 60s, something like that.
75 when I was driving home.
75, yeah.
A lot of people 60. Walking, driving, riding bikes. And
beautiful day.
There's some aggression, though. Like, people get, I told my son, he was driving me today, and I told him, I said, just be careful. And he's like, why, Dad? And I was like, number one, there's a lot of people out, but you have to be very careful because people just lose their mind. The temperatures go up, the IQ levels go down. I don't know why that is, and the aggression goes up. And he said, I can tell that. And I said, just do what you know is right with driving and just make sure.
I see what you're saying.
I said, what I always say, like, make sure before you go, like, just know before you go that somebody's, you know, not there or whatever, you know, just.
What I preach to my boys is treat everybody on the road as they are an idiot.
All right. Well, because unfortunately people lose their mind.
Do not trust anyone.
My dad always said defensive driving.
Yep.
Defensive driving. Do not assume they're going to turn or do not assume they're going to do this and that because probably won't. they're not going to do what you think they should.
Yep.
So he's like, you'll be in good shape if you just don't trust them. And like Nate said, treat them like they're idiots.
Yeah. Yep.
Beautiful day, though. So I got 70 degrees for March 1st. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, hey, moving from that.
We're moving from that?
Guess what time it is?
It's about that time.
Dad joke time. Dad joke of the show.
I need to get like a trumpet button.
We'll get a sound bite going.
That sounded good right there.
Sound effect. So it's game 7 of the NBA Finals, and a man makes his way to a seat at center court. He sits down and notices that the seat next to him is empty. He leans over and asks his neighbor if someone is sitting there. The man responds, no, the seat's empty. The first man exclaims, what? Who in their right mind would have a seat like this for the NBA Finals and not use it? The neighbor responds, well, the seat is mine, but my wife passed away, and this is the first NBA Finals we haven't been together. The second guy goes, I'm sorry to hear that. Wasn't there anyone else, a friend or a relative, that could have taken their seat? He said, no, they're all at the funeral.
Oh. That's actually really good.
Hey,
that's
good. Who can pass up good seats? That's your dad joke of the show.
That's rough, man.
That is rough. Oh, ouch. Yes. Oh. All righty. So anyway, moving on from that, Sean,
what are the
you have
first
announcements?
I do have the first part of the announcements. We always, whatever, preface this part of the announcements with, we are here for fun. We are here for what I've said before, frivolity. Guy time. What, I don't even know what frivolity is, right?
Yeah, most people probably don't.
Creepiness. I just made it up.
Just made it up.
creepiness. We're here to, we love this. We love what we do. But the most important thing we can do here is have a community for mental health. we all need help. All of us have needed help. We need to be here to support each other. So we want to make sure that you guys aren't on an island. Call or text the number 988 for any and all types of crises. You can also text home to 741-741. Don't be scared to get help by going to counseling. Find the right one that you feel comfortable with. Sometimes it'll take more than one time to find the right counselor. Visit stopbullying.gov for another way to get help with bullying. Also, please reach out to on our Facebook group if you need a prayer or word of encouragement. That is what our group is for.
Amen to that.
And they've been using it more for that. They all have. So, yeah. Which is awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, reach out by message, whatever works, you know.
I personally appreciate that. That was directed at me here recently, and I really appreciate that, and it continues to be. And it's very humbling, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. Our numbers are going up.
Yeah, right. I have a couple people have jokingly said that like, oh, is this all a ploy? Yeah, no, not a ploy, but
no, unfortunately, no.
Shawnee Khan is still here, and I'm okay.
I say whatever it takes,
whatever it takes. Who's next? Right? No,
no, that's true. No, yeah, we want everybody healthy, and it is nice that we are approaching the spring season, getting out of that dark time, you know, the January, right. February.
Get some vitamin D.
It helps. It sure does. Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, we want everybody healthy. And it, like I said, if it's getting on that group or Instagram or reaching out by message, do so. And if it's a family or friend that you guys want to reach out to or, call somebody like a counselor or whatever, they've got that texting, do it. You know?
Better call somebody. Better call somebody.
While you're out getting vitamin D, if your skin starts to turn red, too much vitamin D. Go back in shade.
These are all words of wisdom, Nate. Thank you.
Dr. Laux, MD.
Dr. Laux.
Yeah, you don't want to get too much, right? no skin cancer. But yeah, we want everybody to take care of themselves. So going from that, I've got some shout-outs and basically special announcements. But we do have a sponsor.
That's exciting.
That's right. The special announcements sponsor is Midwest Mama Designs by Megan. Megan mostly specializes in custom screen print and sublimation designs for shirts. She is mostly known for her unique bleached spirit wear designs for the local and surrounding schools. Megan can accommodate large orders for groups, schools, and teams. And you can find her fun and awesome designs on Facebook and Instagram by searching Midwest Mama Designs by Megan. And she also has a website, which is MidwestMamaOnline.com, and I have seen her website and her Facebook page, and she has all kinds of stuff.
She does, yes.
Shirts, bags, hats. She stitch, you know, anything you want. Flip flops to, you know.
Jenna has used her and loves her.
Unbelievable
and,
products.
Yeah, I have one of my favorite Halloween shirts that you guys love. Like, where did that come from? So that's from Megan. So thank you.
Yes, Megan, thank you so much for being a sponsor.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. So go check out Midwest Mama Designs by Megan. And she's got some awesome merch. So she does a really good job. So we appreciate her being a sponsor. We've got the Mako live show, the Mako Presents Keeping It Creepy 2023 live show. It will be on Saturday, October 7th from 5 to 9. Joining us will be special guest, paranormal investigator and friend of the show, Aaron Egnatz, and paranormal author and also friend of the show, Micah Campbell. Our live show will be at the Ellis Park train station in Danville, Indiana, about 40 minutes west of Indianapolis. Tickets are on sale. They're only $15, and they can be purchased on the Eventbrite website by searching Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. There will be food and drinks, merch for sale, fun prizes to give away. We're going to have some lights, lasers, great music, maybe some other special effects. You'll be able to meet and visit with all of the guests and take pictures if you would like. It's going to be an absolute awesome and fun show, so come out and see us. It's going to be a great time. I cannot wait till... I know we're just getting to the springtime, but it's like when it comes, you know, it's that fall and that October season.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. So we hope to see as many creepies out there as possible. We're also going to be part of the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show at the Boone County Jail Distillery in Lebanon, Indiana. That's coming up soon. It's going to be May 20th. We're going to be with the host show Hillbilly Horror Stories along with the Tragedy of Cinema. Again, May 20th, the time of the show is 6 to 10 p.m. Tickets are only $25, and they are on sale at the Eventbrite website. You can just search Hillbilly Horror Stories, or you can go to their website, click the link, and it'll direct you to the Eventbrite. They are limited, so the last I knew, we sold at least half. So get your tickets now. We hope to see you there. And then coming up even sooner than that, we are going to do our first Mako on location at the Indiana State Sanatorium. That date is Saturday, April 22nd from 10 to 5. Tickets are only $25, so get your tickets. That way you can be able to do an investigation or a self-guided tour, as they call it. If you want to come out and just hang with us or whatever, it doesn't cost you. But once you start, if you want to check out the buildings and see what's going on there, you do have to purchase a ticket. We're going to have, fun giveaways for those that come out and hang with us. We're going to be doing some recording first off. We'll start first part of the day, and then we're going to do an investigation afterwards. And you guys said you got your ticket.
I got my ticket, yep. Yes.
I already bought it.
I need to get my ticket.
You said you're going to bail on us. You said you might bail on us. Never.
I wouldn't do that. I bail on you. I just want to go see the sanatorium.
That's right.
No, I wouldn't
mix
do
in
that.
With the crowd.
Yeah, but no, come out and see us. Hopefully it's going to be a beautiful day. If not, we'll still be there. Like I said, we're going to be doing some recording of episodes. And then after that, we're going to go check out the buildings. We went there back in, October? Mm-hmm. November?
November, yeah.
The place
November.
Is crazy. Yeah. It's hard to explain. I know we've tried over the few times, but it's just come out and check it out.
There was snow on the ground, you remember?
Oh, a little bit. It was a nice day. It was a little chilly. But yeah, you're not going to be disappointed. Like I said, we'll have some fun giveaways for those who come out, hang out with us, and check out the creepy and historical Indiana State Sanatorium in Rockville, Indiana. So there you go. That's what we got going on.
That's exciting stuff.
Fun stuff coming up. Like I said, once it hit March, I'm like, ooh, we can say next month is our on location. Month after that is the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show, and then we'll have some other things planned, for 2023. We'll let them know as we get closer to that. So we don't want to tease them too much.
Don't let the cat out of the bag.
No,
yet,
we've
right?
got some other things planned though, some other on locations. So anyway, Sean,
yes,
tell our creepies what do we have for them for this episode?
We have an awesome guest chat with fictional author and friend of the show, Daniel Bouts. Enjoy, creepies.
Hey, creepies, we have a special guest on this episode. He is an author. He is published through Anatolian Press, our good friend Micah Campbell. He just had his debut novel come out a couple of weeks ago. It's called Life is in the Blood. Let's bring on our good friend, Daniel Bouts. Daniel, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
We're good.
We're good.
Doing
yeah.
good.
Glad you could come on.
Awesome. I'm excited to be on. So let me tell you, I'm super stoked for this.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you on, and thank you for the time you're spending with us. So let's get into it. If you want to tell our creepies a little bit about yourself, like your background, maybe where you're from, and we'll go from there.
So I'm originally from the great state of Ohio, which I think two episodes ago you kind of talked a little bit about, the Ohio State Reformatory. That was right in my backyard where I spent most of my life. I recently moved down to Florida. I guess it's kind of hard to say a whole lot about myself because I don't think I'm all that interesting, but I've got this new book out, and I'm excited as heck for anybody to read it, and I'm very thankful for anybody who does, and I'm glad to get the opportunity to talk with you guys about that and anything else that comes up.
Awesome.
Sweet.
So where at in what part of Ohio, and then where are you living at in Florida as far as the town or city?
So I grew up in a little town called Lucas, Ohio, and nobody knows what it is unless you're from Lucas, Ohio, okay. or that area. Think of the greater area, the next big city around me is Mansfield.
So
I grew up there, and to tell you a whole lot of fun, creepy stories about growing up there, probably kind of is what pushed me into becoming more of a horror paranormal author than anything. And now I'm living in a small city in Central Florida, about an hour away from Orlando, called Tavares.
Okay.
Oh, Tavares. Cool.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to Orlando this late June because my daughter plays travel volleyball. And so, she has a week long volleyball tournament in Orlando, and I haven't been there since 1987. So, and that's going to be our family vacation too. So we're kind of doing both. So yeah, so we're excited about that.
Daniel, he is the stat guy, so he would remember.
Well, it was easy because I was a sophomore 87. That's how I remember.
That's how I remember.
But he's right, Daniel. Yeah, I am the stat guy.
I would have been eight.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
Daniel, I have to ask you, are you considered a Buckeye then or a Floridian? So what do you go by? Are you a Duke's mixture?
I am an Ohioan. I'm not necessarily a Buckeye.
You're an Ohioan?
I don't want to say that too loud.
I get you. I do understand that.
I'm an Ohioan through and through. I don't think that'll ever change, even though I am a citizen of Florida.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, like I say, you're not saying that you're a Florida man, correct? That's why you're not accepting that mantle.
No, but I spot one or two of those on a daily basis.
I bet. That is awesome. So how did you get into, like, when did you start getting into writing or having that bug as far as wanting to be an author and all of that?
So I took the long way around on that. I pretty much fit in with the whole middle age theme now. I wrote my first novel when I was 16.
Wow.
I don't know. It never really was something I thought I could ever do. I just did it because I had a story I wanted to write and I wrote it. And I kind of put it away and forgot about it. I worked most of my adult life as a graphic designer and an artist, and that's what I went to school for, and that's what most of my career has been. And I think I did that because everyone would say, like, oh, look at how great, you know, this picture is that you drew. So I got all these accolades for that, and it kind of like, oh, I should pursue that. So I always wrote, but I never really thought of it as anything other than just kind of an exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Until I had a dog, and it was like my best friend in my life and a dog in my life. Like, and for whatever reason, I didn't get to continue my life with the dog, and I missed him. And so I was trying to think of a way that I could at least have some kind of small experience mm-hmm. with him back in my life, you know, just because, I just missed him terribly because I did. And so I came up with an idea for a story, and I just wrote about this story about a boy and his dog. And when other people read it, they loved it. I mean, I heard words like, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm a great next Charles Dickens or anything, but I heard words like genius, brilliant.
Wow.
And I was like, and I really enjoyed the process of writing. Like, it wasn't unlike with art when I did a drawing or painting or, you know, piece of graphic design. It was always about getting to that end, getting that finished product. I didn't really care about the process or journey on how to get there. Like, that was never a focus. But with writing, I noticed I enjoyed every bit of it. I enjoy learning about it. I enjoy editing. I enjoy all the things that people complain about, the process of writing. Like, so as a total, the end product is very important to me because that's what you put out there in the world. But the whole process of creating a story, creating a world, bringing characters to life, that was all equally important to me, unlike any other creative endeavor I ever did. So that's when I knew that I had found something a little deeper than anything I've ever found before. Like, almost, I don't want to say it's a calling, but it pretty much feels that way to me.
Yeah, I would agree. It sounds like it's a calling.
You found your passion, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. That's what you just know when that's what you're put on this earth to do, and that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working to find my – I haven't found my niche yet.
That is awesome.
You know, it's funny. Like, I thought I had always known what I wanted to be, and I just – it wasn't fulfilling me the way this does, even though – you know, I work a day job. I still work with graphic design. I still do all that stuff because it's a skill and a trade that I know and I understand. But the other thing is, yeah, that's the passion. It's what drives me. It's what consumes me.
My sister is a graphic designer. I don't know we've mentioned her a couple of times on this podcast. She did our logo and everything, and she's helped to update the logo. But yeah, she's a graphic designer. But I get the sense that, like, you know, she's an artist. She has an artist in her, but she is. There are times where she just feels like it's just very assembly line or methodical, and there's no like passion in it. So I get exactly what you mean. That sometimes you just gotta, even though you think that there would be plenty to. You know, be able to create, you're a creative, right? And so to be right. able to create. And sometimes it just feels like when somebody tells you to do something, they don't like it, they're going to tell you how to do it again or fix it. Then it's like, well, it's not really mine. It's yours. And you're just telling me what to do. And it's just, you feel kind of like a, I hate to say piece of meat, but like a, just a robot going through the motions. And that's not, that's not a passion. I totally get that.
Yeah, that's a very accurate way to describe sometimes the life of the graphic artist or designer. Is that most of the time you're putting somebody else's vision out into the world and not your own.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard my sister so many times complain and talk about the frustrations of it too, of where you feel boxed in with all the thoughts. I was looking back not too many days ago. I put about, this is with your passion of writing. This made me think of this, but talking about stories and creating that for people, you're creating worlds when you have a story that people read and get involved in, and that's all they think about. And as soon as you pick up the book, you're immediately, transfixed with the storyline, and you're transported to another place and time. But there was a good quote that said, a good book makes you want to live in the story. A great book gives you no choice. And I have not read your book yet, and I'm excited to read it because I love a good book. I juggle about, right now I've got, somebody asked me what I'm reading, so I sent him a picture of a stack of books, about 7 or 8. And it's not like I'm a speed reader or anything like that. I take what I want from the books. And I have some that are on how to make yourself better, and some are biographies, and some are, on management and all these different things. But, and some of them are, you'd see probably a kid reading, Tale of Two Cities. I haven't read that since I was a senior in high school. And I'm like, I want to read that again. I remember loving that book. So I pick and choose, but I love to find myself a good book. And so you can't go wrong. I know with yours.
Well, I hope that's how you feel at the end of it. I know that the response I've gotten from it, from the people that have read it, has been really overwhelmingly positive.
I've read the reviews. And I know.
So, I mean, I feel like if people find it, people read it, they're going to enjoy it. They're not going to, it moves really fast. It's one of the things that I picked up from all the reviews. Everyone kind of seems to tear through it once they pick it up. So I feel like that's a good thing. That's a good feeling to read that. It's, I don't know, because you never know how people are going to respond to something you put out there creatively. I mean, you guys have to know that, because you did the podcast kind of on a lark.
Yep.
And you put it out there, and once it's out there, it's out there. It starts to take on a life of its own. So you kind of understand all of that goes into creating something unique and putting it out for the world to consume.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as we've gotten, today's the first, so we're 12 days away from our second year anniversary, which is crazy. I look at it like, you know what, we're doing the best we can. We're doing it for the right reasons. We always talk about why we're doing it, and we do this side of it. And then it's, like you said, it's out there, and now how somebody receives it, that's up to them. We can't make them love it or if they, if they don't like it, they don't like it or whatever. So I think the same, if you're an author, you create your story and you put it together and you enjoy the process. And once you complete it, then you get it published. And then, if you're happy with it and you did it for the right reason and did it the way you wanted it, you can't help how everybody's going to receive it. Now, like you said, you hope people love it and rate it and review it and spread the word about it. But if they don't, that's on them. You know what I'm saying? I think, we did this and we're not making a whole lot of money from it. It's not our job. And I think, we're doing it for us and, the mental health side and talk, for guy time and all the reasons we talk about. It's out there. And then, hopefully people like it, and which, we've gotten a lot of great, feedback and downloads have shown they like it. But if somebody doesn't, it's not their thing, then that's fine. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
We have a brute squad for that, though.
Yeah. But we do have a good
a goon squad.
Yeah, that's right. We do have Vinny and Rocco. But other than that, Daniel, it doesn't matter to us. Yeah.
And the one thing, I didn't really see our podcast going in this direction per se, is the guest chats, talking to people like Daniel and our other guest chats. Those are some of our favorite
They really
episodes,
are, right?
Because we get to interact with someone that's interesting to us.
That's true.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Daniel, I have to say, I was telling this to somebody else the other day, that especially when you create something, and you can understand this too, feel the same way, is it's like raising a kid. It's like your child after a while. And I honestly didn't think of it that way. I thought, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you start getting so, I love coming back to the microphone. You love coming back, I'm sure, to the computer or typewriter or whatever you use, a pad and paper, who knows. But those are the things that like this is where I get excited. This is where I create. And it is after a while you watch it grow and you're a little bit protective of it. But you want to make sure that people are nice to it too. And you know that not everybody's going to love it and all that kind of stuff, but it's like raising children. And at some point you have to kind of let go and just let it be what it is. You know, like you said, what you put out there, you have to have the trust and that you've done the best you can and let it do its thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the nature of being creative. I mean, and that's, you can't always do that. I know there's people out there who would disagree with me, but I think if you're doing things not necessarily with the idea of, like you said, you're not making a lot of money, you're not, this isn't your day job, you're doing it, you're creating just simply out of the joy of creating. So that translates. People read that. People see the enthusiasm. People see the love. And those people that see that, they're going to connect with it just that much more. So, I mean, it's like you guys, you've been doing the show for almost 2 years now, and you've seen it probably grow. And like you said, it's a toddler now, so it should be talking back to you. But
just wait for those teenage years.
Well, Daniel, Sean talks back to Nate and I, so that's kind of where that's at. But
and you keep saying we're not making any money. I must be taking it all. Is that, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Lots of zeros.
But we're all kind of on the same page because we've said it over and over. We did not have any expectations. Had no idea what was going to really come about this. How long it was going to last. How much we were going to really do it. You know, put into it. And then you see some success, and then you're like, oh, man. So I will admit that, I mean, I am a stat guy. I look at our numbers every night because I want to have some type of gauge, you know, to how we're improving and how the downloads are coming along and the stats and all this. But it really does come down to, you know what, like the other night we had a down night it updates every 7, at least our time, 7 o'clock p.m., the totals update. And so we were like – down a bunch, and I was like, you know what, that's okay. It's not like, because where we were at is way more than we were a year ago, you know what I mean? And so so I do kind of get used to seeing a certain amount of downloads, and then now the last two nights we've been back up to 500 more than what they were. It's just like it's all over the place. And so as long as like the three of us still enjoy what we're doing and we're doing it for the right reasons and love, like Sean said, coming to the mics and picking a topic and then working through the process, doing the research, and then go to the mics and then record it and put it out there, then that's pretty much all we can do. Now, you know, and then if somebody loves it, great. If not, no problem. You know,
Goon Squad.
Oh, well, okay. Sean, yeah, Goon Squad. But yeah.
Get the Goon Squad out.
Yeah. No, but I can't imagine. Now, spinning off of that, like, well, Sean, how do you, like, what is your process in writing a book and putting all the, like coming up with the characters and the names and the storyline? Do you do a computer, or do you kind of write it down, you know, pen and paper, or what kind of goes into that?
So I'm kind of a hybrid in that regard. Like if I'm going to do notes on like characters, doing character sketches, I typically write them out. I draw them and I kind of go from there. But like most of the work is done on the computer for me. I mean, I get the idea for a story. I just start typing and, I do like plot ahead. I guess they would kind of call it like, they call them plotters and pantsers. And so I'm somewhere in the middle of that. I don't know if you're familiar with that term or not.
I'm not.
So I'll plot two or three chapters ahead from where I'm at. I know where I want my story pretty much to end up when I start, because I already kind of have an idea before I even started. And it usually starts with a character, a central character. And the life is in the blood. It actually started with the bad guy. So for this one, I had the idea for the bad guy. And I just tried to figure out a way to kind of build a world around them that made sense. And also, how would I bring the conflict in here? Like, what's the nature of how that conflict would come about for the antagonist of the story? I actually, for this one, I had like, I want to say four main characters, and they all like come from the antagonist, which Silas was a preacher, and Brannigan Rafferty is a paranormal author in the 18. This is all set in the 1890s. I actually dreamt Brannigan up. I literally had a dream, woke up at 3 a.m. and wrote an entire scene with him before I even started the story. And I like didn't even have an idea of what I was going to do with this character or why I wrote it or anything. And it sat for like 3 months before I even had the idea for this book.
That's
and
awesome.
As I was writing the antagonist, I was like, hold on. This makes sense to bring this character in this setting into this story. So that's, I guess, if, I don't know if that actually answers your question about my process, but that's how this novel came about from the start. I just had that little kernel of an idea based off a verse from the Bible, Leviticus 17:14. That came to mind, and then I became aware of, in the 1800s, a blood cult where the preacher was basically getting people to drink blood, thinking that it was going to heal their sickness.
Oh. Hmm. And that was a true story, you said? I mean, a real historical?
That's a real story, yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's where that idea, like, and I had the idea that kind of became a what if of that true story. Like, okay, well, what if this wasn't just some dude making people, you know, convincing people to drink blood? What if he literally was a vampire that could pass his power on to other people by putting drops of his own blood in the, you know, in the communion cup and telling them that it's the power of God and getting them to follow him?
Mm-hmm.
Because they feel better, they're not as sick, they're not as sore, they're, you know,
mm-hmm.
because of the powers being transferred from his own supernatural blood. So that's where the idea came initially for this.
That's awesome. Where was that story? Do you remember where the real story, the inspiration was at, like the location?
So I actually saw it on a television program. I don't remember the name of it, but I do remember Robert Englund was hosting it.
Oh, Freddie. That's right. No, I was just wondering. You know, I have to look that up.
Yeah.
Like Tales of Terror or something like that, but it was like focused on like true weird history, and I'm super into history, and the weirder the better.
Yep.
Nice.
I'm right there with you, Daniel.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to know people's processes because it seems like, you know, we've had a few authors on here, and everybody has their own way of doing things, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting to know kind of, hey, how do you come about this? How do you come up with characters? Yeah, do you just write them down? I was going to ask you, too, like, have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and like, oh, my gosh, that's the name of the character? Or, yeah, so you said you wrote an actual, what, 3 chapters or something? That's awesome.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was the middle of the night. And I thought, I got to write this down. This is too good. I got to write it down. And I didn't have any... It didn't fit anything. I wasn't working on anything. I was just writing a bunch of short stories at the time. But I just had, like, the introduction of the character Brannigan Rafferty. He wasn't named at the time, but that idea was there prior to me even starting on this novel.
Yeah, that's all. I know Jerry Seinfeld said he'd wake up in the middle of the night and
dream a joke.
Yeah, he'd have a pen and paper on his nightstand. He'd write the joke so he wouldn't forget. Yeah, that's cool. Were you going to say something, Sean?
I love the fact that you draw out your characters because that, just looking at the bookmark here, with the characters, and it says life is in the blood. What happens when the worst evil wears the face of God? And I love, I mean, all that draws you in because you're like, oh, I'm in for in for a treat. Uh-huh. I also have to ask where your background as a radio ho. Excuse me. I'm misspoken. Now, speaking is not always my thing. I told you I don't have my niche yet. A radio show host. I mix that up a little bit.
That there could be, yeah.
A little dyslexia for your listening pleasure. So,
not to incriminate myself, but my time as a radio host we can't discuss. But my radio show host years we can.
we'll leave the other one off for off air, right?
Right. That's great.
So actually, I started a podcast back in I don't even know how long ago. Everything is like 10 years ago at least. I did it for like 8 or 9 years. I started with a podcast. It was monthly, then it went weekly, then it went twice a week. And then I was actually at like a flea market and there was a radio show, a couple of guys from the local radio station doing a remote at this flea market. And I just walked up to them and asked, hey, you have a slot for a late night paranormal radio show? And it just all went from there. And I was doing a radio show 5 nights a week, 2 hours every night between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. for about a year.
Oh, wow.
And then it got canceled because somebody on another station didn't like the fact that there was a paranormal radio show on their radio station.
Hmm. Well, shame on them.
That's too bad.
What nonsense is that? Really? That's why they canceled it, huh? That's crazy.
Well, I ran it for about 10 years. The radio show itself did. The radio show was about a year, but I did the podcast. Huh. I want to say 10 years, but somewhere around there. I'm a little fuzzy on the dates because it's been so long since I've done it.
Wow.
But the radio show, there was just one guy, and he just, for whatever reason, didn't want the show and just kept bugging the guy who owned all the stations about it. And I got a... didn't even get a phone call. Didn't get a person saying. I literally got a Facebook message saying, "Hand over your keys" from station manager.
Wow, that's a crappy way to find out.
It's a kick in the pants.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is what it is. But yeah. You know, at that point, I kind of like, because I focus a lot of energy on that, and you guys know what it takes to put together a show. And I was doing 5 a night, and I was working full time, so kind of took that as a sign to take a break from it. And I'm not going to say I don't feel the itch every now and again to do a radio show, but I haven't really felt enough of an itch to go back and put that effort in to do it all over.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I get that.
Well, I mean, yeah, you did it, and then it's like you're doing, you know, you're an author, and it's what you take from it. Yeah. And just use your time in other ways. So kind of worked out for you.
People like that drive me nuts because it's like, okay, if you don't like it, don't listen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple.
It is simple.
But don't take it away from everybody else that does want
to. Right, right.
Well, the funny thing is part of the deal was that, you know, if I picked up any affiliates, we were supposed to split the money 50-50. I was about to sign 4 affiliates, my first 4 affiliates, and they canceled it, and I just was like, the way it ended, I don't understand why it was so abrupt and so curt, but anyway, so I lost out on that. So I was like right there. I had done the work. I had done all the legwork to get. I think I had Minneapolis, Minnesota, 2 cities in New York State that were going to come on, you know, and start picking up the show. Let's put it this way. I was successful enough at it that Coast to Coast started trying to book my guests the day before I had them on.
Oh, really?
Wow.
That's crazy.
Multiple times, yeah.
Wow. That's that's big time. Holy cow.
The funny thing is I never made a red cent off of it. I was right there about to, and, you know, whatever.
Of course.
Right? It is what it is. Sure. It, like you said, it probably was the best thing for me because now I have Life is in the Blood out there, and hopefully I'll have another book out here before the year's out and keep this ball rolling because I found the thing that really drives me. So it's one of those things. At first it felt really bad, but now it's like, in retrospect, like a lot of things, probably the best thing for me.
Yeah.
Yep. That's life, isn't it?
So how long is the whole process for you to come up with the idea, write it, and get it out there?
I want to say, you know, by the time I'm like sending things out to be looked at, this is my first time going through publish, but this book, Life is in the Blood, took me about 3 months to write the first draft and probably another 2 months to do, you know, edits, to get it to a point where I'm polished, where I was happy enough with it to send it out for people to look at, to try and get people to pick it up.
Okay.
So I'm going to say about 5 months.
Real possibility that you could put a book out every year.
I am really driving to put two out every year.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Cool.
Sounds doable.
Yeah.
That gives me 2 months off a year. It's all good.
There you go.
I've got a bunch, you know, kind of sitting on my hard drive too. I want to say 4 other novels. I'm halfway through another one. So I just do this every day. So it's just part of what I do. It's a habit at this point. So I never stop. And it took me 7 or 8 years to get signed. So I didn't stop in between. So I've got a bunch of other novels I want to get out there already, just kind of sitting on my hard drive.
So with those other novels, are you, you're currently like still working on those, right?
Although they're as polished as I can get them.
Okay.
I know Mike is looking at one, and hopefully that comes out in September. I know we had talked about and slated it for that date, but I wanted him to look at it first before, you know, committing to it.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering, if you have like 4 different stories going, how do you keep
it all straight?
Keep it all straight.
It bleeds through.
Yeah,
yeah. Don't cross them. But wait a minute, that character wasn't supposed to be
because
in the story.
It's like a soap opera, and all the soap operas. That's how they just share characters.
right. You're right.
Well, I mean, they're complete, and I'm not working on 5 different things at the same time. Yeah, I'm not doing that because I don't think I can manage that. That could be for some fun reading, I guess, when you got characters popping in from other books. That's like having Pip show up in Tale of Two Cities.
That's right. great expectations. What?
Yeah.
Pip and hey.
How so, Mr. Micah, his name popped up. How did you get connected with Mr. Campbell?
So that's a funny story. Like I had just sent the book out to another publishing company, which will remain nameless. And I was like in their serious selection. So I guess their method was, they're going to pick the book. They're going to pick a few, they're going to do this consensus, and they're going to choose a handful of books. And my book was in that final round, and they chose to pass on it. And when I got the rejection, I mean, it was a nice rejection. It was nice to know that they loved the book, but they want, you know, it's one of those things. So, and I was pretty dejected, but also like felt good that I made it that far, because getting a book to a publisher, getting a book to be published, is absolutely brutal. And so my girlfriend, Sunny, she was on Instagram, and she said, "Hey, look, these people, they're asking for submissions, you should send them to them." And she sent that over to me. I sent it to Micah. That was on, I want to say it was a Friday or something. It was August 26th. And I was signing the contract with him on August 31st.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Because he read it, and the other people that he had look at the manuscript all read it over that 3-day weekend, came back, and they offered me a contract. And I took it because, I mean, it happened fast, but I just had good feelings about it from the minute I started talking with Micah. And I definitely don't have any apprehension at this point either. You know, it's not like, you know, sometimes you get down the line with something that you like start to question things. As I've gotten down the line, I've definitely questioned this less and less and less. You know, the doubts just kind of get wiped away.
Okay.
I wanted to ask something about Micah Campbell, since his name keeps coming up. I don't know. He kind of knows about this. we have started a campaign. It's take down Micah Campbell. He's getting a little too big for his britches. We wanted to know if you want to join. I know it's a little early, but we just want to know how much of a tyrant is Micah.
Because I mean, you could be honest here, Daniel.
This is a tree of trust right here.
I mean, he only brings out the cat and nine tails every once in a
while. Yeah.
It's all coming out now.
Every once in a while he comes out with the peacemaker and, you know, gets some private justice.
He knows I'm kidding because I love Micah. Micah and I actually just talked today. He's checking on me and I told him how much I love him and he's an awesome guy. He did pay me extra to say that too, by the way. That's extra zeros.
to be honest, Daniel, when he started getting too big for his britches is when he was a two-time guest on our show. That's when his head got big and he thought he was Mr. Big Time. Until then, you know, whatever.
He always talks about being this great author, but still well known. You know, and I was
he's
like,
so funny. He's
self-deprecating.
He is the king of that. I'm glad you connected. I just didn't know if you knew Micah ahead of time or if you just kind of just awesome. Fell upon his publishing company and
your crossed paths.
Paths crossed. Complete and absolute strangers. Yeah.
Cool.
Out of nowhere, I think I do him, and I mean, I'm still ecstatic about that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we love Micah. We'll pick on him more later on. But
absolutely, he knows at least six times this episode.
So Daniel, you said you're from like the greater Mansfield. I know you said the town you're from. Nobody would know about it.
Yeah.
So had you been to the Ohio State Reformatory, or do you have
we call it the Disneyland of Mansfield? Absolutely.
Ah.
I've spent the night there a few times. Yeah.
Whoa! Wow.
Wow.
Did you go with a group or did you just kind of wander in there by yourself or would you do that?
It was me and some friends. Nice. Went. That whole town has got a million ghost stories.
Really?
And that is definitely one of the cooler buildings I've been in. I've done it. I'm gonna say a few times. Spent the night there, and I've done another tour. I took my stepdaughter and Sonny. We all went. That was the last time I went. So yeah, I've definitely been to a reformatory, and it's an awesome place.
It looks awesome. That episode, was that the one that dropped this week? I can't remember. No, it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks
ago. A week ago.
I don't know what time it is.
Daniel, we can't even keep track. Yeah, that's right. It was last week.
I can't even speak clearly tonight, so.
Join the crowd. No, yeah, that was a fun place to talk about because it's one of the hotbeds of paranormal investigating, that's for sure. And it's so gothic, it's so huge, and it just looks beautiful.
Menacing,
and, yeah, and they said, they built it for that purpose to kind of strike fear into prisoners coming into it.
But to inspire.
But to reform them, reform. Right? Yeah, that's cool though. What other, like you said, Mansfield has a lot of other places that's kind of got some creepiness to it.
Okay, so the reformatory is great, I don't want to disparage it. I definitely had an experience there the first time I went, and my stepdaughter had one when she went too. But I grew up in a small town called Lucas. So there's a farm down there called Malabar Farm. And it's almost like the entire farm, which is like several hundred acres, is just full of activity. But if you get to go into any of the buildings, like they do ghost haunts in what they call the big house, which was the main manor house. There's a house where a young lady murdered her family in the Celia Rose house. If you go up, there's a couple cabins. There's a cave behind one of the cabins where there's I don't know if it's a cenotaph or an epitaph in the cave. Like they've never excavated to see if there's a body in there to correspond with the engraving in the cave wall. That I would say is a very haunted area. Definitely worth checking out, a lot lesser known. So it's not as crowded when you go.
Okay.
So I've definitely done some investigations there, but I also grew up a mile from there. And I would say had some terrifying experiences on that premises.
Wow.
Hmm.
Man, I didn't know that. Yeah, I just knew about the Ohio State Reformatory. I didn't know.
Yeah, definitely have to look into these.
I know. As you're talking, I was writing my little notes here to remember it. What do you call the farm? Malamar? Is that what you said?
Malamar Farm, yeah.
Malamar Farm. Okay. Very cool.
So the author, here's a little author connection. The author, Louis Bromfield, lived there.
Okay, yeah.
It's funny because I was listening to the episode you guys did about the OSR. You're talking about Phoebe Wise.
I can't remember.
My grandmother actually knew Phoebe Wise, yeah.
Okay.
The person you talked about, the ghost that's like walking up and down the street.
Yes.
Yep.
Near the reformatory. But my grandmother actually knew the real person.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow.
Because we thought that sounded made up.
I know. So that's why we're like, now that's Hollywood. I remember. Yeah.
That name's crazy. She grew up not far from where Phoebe Wise would literally walk the streets, not capacity, but walk up and down the street at night.
That's neat.
It's fun because we talk about places that are local around here, and it's always fun because we kind of take it for granted certain places or places we grew up with, hearing about, or local stuff. But it's fun when we talk about places and people share their stories or other, you know, like, oh, you gotta check this place out. I love that. I think it's awesome because there's just an endless amount of places to check out. You know, that's what there's. We thought about when we first started this, like, what if we run out of things to say or places to cover or things throughout history and topics. Nope. I don't think it's an endless array of oddities to talk about in paranormal.
You never will. No, you never will. And one of the things when I did the show and I talked about it, forever, was it dawned on me, either this is all exceptionally rare or it is completely commonplace. And the longer I did it, the more I kind of leaned towards it being commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that strikes me is like, and I'm sure you've probably all seen the movie Beetlejuice, where they're like,
oh yeah,
they're reading the handbook for the recently deceased and saying people usually won't see the dead. And I think that cognitive dissonance kind of allows for that to be a true statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Not that they don't experience it, not that they couldn't, it's just that they won't because they can't allow themselves to process it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know at work I'll mention every once in a while that I do a paranormal podcast with my buddies, and then it's, you know, you get sort of a goofy look, and then they're like, you know what, let me tell you a story, something that happened to me.
Yeah.
It's like everybody has a story that they can't explain what happened, but it was terrifying to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the cool thing is because, yeah, I can see somebody like that, Nate, where they're not sure if they still want to say something, if it's safe, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, man, they're going to think, well, might as well.
Maybe. Well, it goes back to what we've said in the past of like a lot of people have these stories, but they're afraid to come out with them because they feel like they're going to be labeled as being crazy or, you know.
Liars.
Yeah.
Yep.
We try to make that like safe space.
A safe harbor with you once they realize that you're interested in this. Like, oh, well, this happened to me. Like, yeah.
I think the terrifying thing is that people take us as experts, and we are. We talked about that the other day. It's like, oh my gosh, we're not experts, but we do. You know, in this journey, we are.
We're
finding,
bumbling toddlers.
We are, but we're people still come to us as like reference, and I'm like, well, I guess we do know a little bit more. You know, we're starting to get a little bit of an edge of knowledge and understanding, and a little bit of basis. But it's funny that it's like, yeah, I'm not an expert.
No, we're not even close. And I have had a few people going back talking about like. That they've said, how much is there to talk about? Like, are you guys going to run out of material or how many stories? I'm like, no. I said, think of all the cities and towns and areas in this world. It'd take forever. I mean, you're not going to run out of anything because I've never heard of the town you're from. Well, and you said that's got some hauntings and it's just, and then there's always something that could happen right now. I mean, you'll never, ever run out of anything to talk about as far as the paranormal.
Yeah, it's just there's so much space. There's been so many people on this planet.
Oh, yeah.
And you're never going to run out of spooky stories or creepy stories or weird stories because we're on this earth and we've experienced
it's weird
so much.
Yeah.
It's just you're never going to run out of it. Everybody's had experiences, and that's one of the things, like, you've learned as you've done your show is that people now that you might not have ever expected, that shared experiences with you, and like you would have never known about that. You'll start to learn that like so many people have had it that you would never even think that it was possible that many people had experiences.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I actually have a coworker right now that I told him about it, and he's like, I've had experiences in the past when I was younger, and I don't want to mess with any of it.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, he can come on our show.
He doesn't want any part of it.
Well, he can talk. It'll be his therapy. He can come on, and we'll talk him through it. Have you had so you said you've had some scary encounters before. Where else have you had, have you been any other locations, you know, as far as investigating or taking tours?
Or would you like to share?
Yeah. And any, if you have, do you have any stories to share that you're comfortable with?
So I went, when I was doing the show, I got invited to go on an investigation, in a place called Farnham Manor, and that's in Richfield, Ohio. Hmm. And I don't know if you're familiar with Richfield, Ohio, that's where the Cleveland Cavaliers used to have their stadium or whatever.
Okay.
But this house was like exceptionally old. It was like one of the original homes in that entire area. Like so much so that the person that built it, he was basically all alone in the wilderness, and he made a friendship with the local indigenous people and their tribe, so he could be safe and live there. He didn't really bring a lot of settlers with him. This is how old the location was. You're talking 1820s, 1830s, mm-hmm. about. So I got invited to go into an investigation there, and had an interesting investigator, like kind of a guest that came along. His name is John Sable, and I don't know if you're familiar with him at all, but mm-hmm. his whole theory is he actually worked as an archaeologist, and he looked at the process which they do, which is where they like wipe away layers, you know, one, you know, thin layer at a time to kind of dig down into the history. Mm-hmm. And his thought process was if you live in a location that's haunted and it's like haunted by, say, human spirits, you need to kind of strip away the layers and interact as if you were in that time period. So say if you're trying to interact with someone from the 1850s, they're not going to know what a flashlight is.
Right.
So you shouldn't use the term "turn on the flashlight." You should say, "Do you see the light in the room?" There, explain it to them in terms that so they could interact that way. So the weird thing is, he was a guest of another team, and that team was setting up, and they had been investigating this place multiple times over a course of several months. And so I was just kind of there to be an observer, and then talk to them all afterwards, and you know. For the radio program and all that. So they're setting up, and they got a guy who is set up in a room with all the video equipment, monitoring all of that. Meanwhile, everyone's taking a break, like just kind of, we'd done like a few things and everyone's just taking a short break. And we're all sitting out in this large enclosed porch with all these huge windows, and just everybody just stopped talking. Because we were just shooting the bull, as a shadow like literally crossed, you know, the windows, like a form, literally went across all the windows all the way around this massive porch.
Wow.
And it was definitely like a human form, but no one really kind of said anything. But it would have had to been like almost 10 foot tall.
Oh god.
Oh wow.
Sheesh.
So everyone just stopped and jaws dropped, and I got up and I ran out. Through the kitchen, like how it was set up, that you go through the kitchen and out the side door. Cause that's how, like, it where it should have been, where I should have, you know. I literally ran out, and I was looking, and while I was in outside, two of the investigators started fighting.
Oh wow!
Out of nowhere, and it was like yelling, fighting, pushing, pulling, grabbing.
That's crazy.
It was the most insane thing. And it just, so this dark form came around the corner. The guy in the kitchen got up and started fighting with the, another investigator. Like,
just instantly.
Just, That was a completely weird experience. That was up in Richfield, and I know they still do like the ghost hunting thing at Farnham Manor. So something's there.
Yeah, like you said, it just all of a sudden started where they weren't like at each other until that whatever it was came.
Oh, there was no tension. Crazy. There was no bickering. Nothing.
No lead up. Okay.
We hear those kind of big, humongous shadows. Black shadows is like a big black. Isn't that what we've heard him call before in certain places? Big black. It always sounds like looming and intimidating.
Yeah, I wonder if they're like a collection of dark presence, like shadow people and black-eyed kids. I wonder if that's a
The black-eyed kids. Yeah, those are always creepy stories.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they? Oh man, I know. Even if they're like not real at all, it's like they're still creepy. They're
knock, knock, knock. Let us in.
Don't let them in. I mean,
kids can be creepy. Period. You know, let alone with black eyes.
You're talking from experience.
That's right. We got neighbor kids. No, I'm kidding. No, just kidding. Yeah, that's intense, though. I wonder, or maybe that thing for a second or whatever long possessed them, or I don't know. Yeah, that's a weird. I've never heard that type of story.
Like this negativity that floated through and just they reacted to. I don't have any really anything else would be speculation, but I just remember that like nothing really happened outside of that the entire time, and we were there, and that pretty much ended everything. You know, the owners were like, "Okay, this is ridiculous. You need to get out. Can't right. believe, you know." And they actually weren't allowed to investigate that place anymore. It just really was a bad situation, which really kind of sucked.
Did they have any explanation? Like afterwards, did they try to say, "Hey, I didn't know what I was doing," or "I blank, you know, blacked out," or whatever, where they did not. Feel like themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I wasn't trying to start anything. I just didn't know what was happening.
It was a lot of I'm sorry's, but then I guess too the group kind of split up after that. So I don't.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That was one place that I definitely went to. Most of the experiences I have weren't really on investigations. They were just things that happened to me or for me, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any, Daniel, do you have any siblings?
What's that?
Do you have any siblings, any brothers or sisters?
I've got a younger brother and an older brother.
Have they had, like, are they into the paranormal things like you are?
No, not really.
No,
I was just curious. I mean, I wouldn't say they're skeptical, but they're also not, like, you know, they definitely would. Didn't go down the path. they weren't as inquisitive. It's not that they didn't have experiences. It just wasn't. Gotcha. I guess maybe not as maybe their experiences just weren't as intense, or I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it, but I don't feel like they had the same level of experiences.
I was just curious because you know when we have guests on and. I always think it's interesting to know, hey, you know, are your parents into this stuff or your siblings or did they have any experiences? So I think it's just an interesting thing to know sometimes, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh yeah, my whole family's in it. And then sometimes it's like, yeah, you know, a little bit here and there. Or so that's why I asked. It's just curiosity.
Yeah. My parents definitely were not. They definitely, that's my mother is probably the biggest skeptic. To begin with, so definitely not into it.
Gotcha. And that's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Have you always been seen as kind of like the black sheep in the family, or or like the outsider, or the person that kind of, you know, like the questioner? You're definitely the creative, or is anybody else in your family like that? Or do you stand alone?
I mean, no, I'm pretty much the weirdo, you know. My older brother, he's an extrovert, but he is definitely like, he's an author. He can draw, he can do that stuff. But he's an extrovert and I'm an introvert. So I kind of make myself the black sheep, for lack of a better description, just cause I like to hang back and I don't really like small talk, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't talk about the weather, but I'll talk about, you know, other things that, you know, a little bit more in depth.
Right.
That really resonates with me too. Cause a lot of people, they think I am an extrovert and I am much more of an introvert. So it's kind of funny because I can do both. But I'm the same way as you, where I feel that very much so. But it is funny that you do. And when you said you made yourself the black sheep or the, you know, the kind of the weirdo, I get that too. I wear that.
The weirdos have to stay together.
Weirdos of the world unite. Yes.
And I've looked at you, Nate. Oh.
And yeah,
you,
I know.
You look back and think, yeah, you kind of do that to yourself, but it is, it takes like, those are the people that push this society forward. These are the leaders. Mm-hmm. If you really look at the leaders, those are the weirdos. Those are the people that have, doubt. We'd still be back in caves probably if it wasn't
thinking
for the
outside the box.
That's right.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. It's the ability to ask the question "what if" more than anything that pushes us forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the why?
Right. We'd still be in caves because, like, we wouldn't say "what if" we cut down these trees and built our own caves.
Right. Yeah. True.
That sounds insane. What are you talking about? That's blasphemy.
You weirdo.
Yeah, you weirdo. Right. Wackadoo.
I was always the why kid. Yeah. But why? Why? Because because I said so. Because that's how it's always been. Because just stop it. Stop questioning. And of course, I hate that to this day. Like, oh, I'm going to keep questioning. You know, that's what I do.
So whenever I get the question why asked to me, I always say, why not?
Yeah. It's a good counter.
So I'm like the why not kid, you know, like, why not?
Yeah, sure. That, yeah.
We make a good team.
I've been asked a lot. I've been asked the question, why did you do that? A lot in my life.
Yeah, I've asked myself that a lot.
As he looks at us.
Why did you?
Why? Why did you get up?
Why did you ask Sean to do this podcast?
Why did you start this with these guys?
No. Hey, as far as, like, we talked about a little bit about the paranormal thing talk. What about horror? Like horror movies, horror characters. Who do you you get into that stuff too? Like the Halloween and all the different movies.
So like I'm an absolute horror fanatic, especially when it comes to movies.
Nice.
I know everyone has, there's like the kind of like the big three or four. You got Leatherface, you got Michael Myers, you got Jason Voorhees, and you got Freddy Krueger.
Mm-hmm.
And like everyone likes to pick from that for their favorites, and I almost look at them as like kind of elevated over most of the horror because they're so popular and everyone knows them. They're like brands unto themselves. I mean, and I love them all, so it's hard to pick. I mean, growing up, I loved Freddy because he talked and he was funny and he was a little sadistic and twisted. And you got that a little bit more. I love Michael Myers because he's silent and you really never know what his motivations are. You never know really much about him other than he's just a force of nature.
Right.
And it's almost the same with Jason Voorhees. They're very similar, except I feel like Jason Voorhees, there is no like even thought or plotting. It's just a killing machine.
Yeah.
Kill, kill, kill. Like where Michael Myers always seems to play with the victim, or he just wants to destroy them.
Yeah, true.
And then Leatherface just likes chili.
Yeah, he's twisted and he comes from a twisted family. Yeah. It's kind of like he was born into it. Like, ugh. Yeah. Do you have any like horror characters? Because I would call those guys like the Mount Rushmore.
Right.
You know? I mean, I know everybody.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know. I also.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. I like the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers. He's one of my favorites.
I was thinking that too.
Oh, my gosh.
I think he's cool. I love the movies. I've only seen the first two. I know there's like four or five, but I also love Pennywise. I love.
Mm-hmm.
I like his character, you know. And you know, and you can kind of flip flop maybe one or two for the Mount Rushmore, but you know, I think the four you mentioned pretty much are it.
They're the Mount Rushmore. I think that's appropriate.
If you took
I love Jeepers Creepers. I love those movies. They're so much fun. I guess that's a weird thing to say, but I think
no, they are. He's actually got a little bit of a personality kind of.
Yeah.
You know. He's like a creature, but he's got like, you know, he's winks and there's one of the scenes I think it's the first one, he just the way he looks at the people that he's, you know, he got does that smile. You know, it's kind of like it's kind of human, but you know it's not. You know, but it's I like him. I think he's very underrated, the Creeper.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I love the first two Phantasm movies. I love the
Tall
Man.
Yeah.
I love Reverend Kane in Poltergeist 2.
Oh yeah,
that is like one of he is like one of my favorite horror villains. And he might be even a little of an inspiration unconsciously for my Preacher in Life is in the Blood. Because, yeah, I mean, that character like absolutely terrified me the first time I saw it. It just like, it's just something so sinister, and the actor and the way they portrayed him. Pumpkinhead is another one that absolutely, that was like my all time favorite Preacher feature.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, I've seen both. Yeah, it's a good one. It's underrated.
What about Critters?
Critters. Wow, Nate, you really pulled out the Critters.
You're just going there.
I mean, it's so much fun.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean,
I liked it when they formed the big, huge ball.
Yes,
and then they rolled over the girl, and the skeleton comes out of the back.
Right.
Yeah,
that's fun. Oh, gosh,
memories.
Oh no, that's great stuff.
Underrated scene there, Nate. Underrated.
Oh, yeah.
Critters. That's all. Or Ghoulies. How about Ghoulies?
Oh, yeah. Ghoulies are good.
That's a funny
Ghoulies,
one.
Ghoulies.
That's pure 80s there.
Daniel, we've talked.
That is pure 80s.
We've talked about some, too, in our different episodes about how. And I like, because I enjoy all those, too. Those are right from our childhood. But the old classics, too. Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman. Todd's talked about his dad being a huge. That was his.
The Wolfman and the Mummy.
The Mummy. All those classic horror, too. The guy that played. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, he passed away.
Oh, he did?
90 some years old.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't see that.
I saw that on Facebook a couple times. So, yeah, and they're like, it's a classic. I'm sorry, I'm stalling on his name, but yeah.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that too. Like, and they filmed a large portion of that movie just about an hour away from where I'm sitting right now.
Oh, that's wild.
Springs.
Oh, wow. Really?
That's cool.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
I love the old Universals. I mean, if I was going to pick my favorite Universal, like the movies, maybe not the characters, I would pick Wolfman and the Mummy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would probably be my favorite out of that set.
Yeah.
I could never bring myself to watch the Frankenstein with Boris Karloff.
Oh, right. Yeah, my dad loved those.
It was a square head. It drove me nuts.
Yeah, that's right.
He was such a square
head. Like, why does he have a square head?
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah. One movie that pops in my head, talking about like old childhood ones that sort of got your goat a little bit, was the remake of The Blob.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're out on like the floating dock out in the middle of the pond.
That scared the crap out of me.
I did too.
It made me not want to go in the water for a while.
Yeah. Forget Jaws. It's The Blob with Nate.
Yeah.
A movie that terrified me growing up was The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Terrified me.
Yeah.
I was afraid of pink flowers for like 2 months. Like, terrified.
Isn't that funny how you pick that one thing in the movie and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't look at it, or I don't want it to be around.
On,
yeah, yep. Exactly. That's funny. Yeah, that's a movie I have not seen in a long time. I'll have to watch that.
I was like, I'm going to turn into a pod person.
Right, pod people. Right. Yeah. What do you got, Sean? You're going.
I just want to make sure the Creature from the Black Lagoon. He died at 93, and his name is Riku Browning. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right.
I saw the post, but I didn't read it, so I just literally went by it. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Man, yeah.
Here's a little flashback for me. So I was 13 or 14, so I was like middle school, and it was during the summer, and on a Saturday, our local Channel 4 had like, you know, the old movies, scary movies, every Saturday night, and so they were advertising The Creature from the Black Lagoon, and our local Hook's drugstore, you could go there and buy the 3D glasses because on the local channel, they're going to put it on in 3D. So my dad went to, we went to the drugstore, got the 3D glasses, and it was mom and dad and I, and we had a blast watching that. Because I had seen it before, but never in, and it actually worked. I mean, it actually worked off of just the regular TV. And what was funny, though, we noticed that Clint Eastwood is actually, he's like a doctor or some type of, you know, scientist, and he's like 22, 23. He's really young. But Clint Eastwood's in that. But that just takes me back to my childhood watching the Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D. And we're sitting there in our living room with the 3D glasses and eating popcorn. So I have had great memories, you know, with my mom and dad watching all those scary movies, whether they were from the, like Sean said, the classic Dracula and Wolfman to the ones that, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Yeah, it's got to love horror movies.
I got in trouble from recently. You remember Soylent Green? Charlton Heston.
I know the movie, but I haven't seen it. Charlton Heston, I know it's about.
The classic is at the end he's saying,
Silent Grin,
right.
It's made from people. You know, he goes, he does his Charlton Heston thing. And I was doing that the other night. The kids were asking what was in something that Jenna cooked. And I said, it's made from people. And she looked at me. She goes, why would you say that? Why?
And I go, said, why not?
Soylent Green. Don't you? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was so I'm the weirdo of the family. I know that's surprising, but.
Well, now you can buy the Soylent protein shake.
And it's made from people.
Have you seen those?
I have seen. Yeah, and I think every time I see it, I think it's made from people. It probably is.
Could be.
Like, no one's going to get that reference, but, you know.
Yeah, that's funny.
Or as weirdos do.
What do you think about, Nana, we've got these little, what are those? Funko Pop characters. I bought about 10 or 12 of them off of Amazon. We've got Michael Myers, Pennywise, Dracula, who we got, Jason Voorhees. And so what about The Shining? Is that a movie you like? Do you like those kind of, where a little bit more kind of mess with you mentally, you know?
I love them all, man. I love The Shining. Cool. I don't know, you guys ever seen a movie called Session 9?
No.
No.
Oh, man, that's one where it's speaking out. I'm not going to say too much about it other than it's just, it's worth watching.
Okay. Is it an older one what's the year?
It might be 10 or 15 years old.
Oh, okay. So it's not. Okay.
What was that again?
It's about a group of contractors that are hired to remove asbestos from an asylum before they tear it down.
Hmm.
It's like maybe a cast of four. It's really good.
Pressure 9, you said?
Session 9.
Session 9. Pressure 9. Session 9. Gotcha. I have not heard of that.
That's a good psychological horror film. Have you seen the movie Frailty?
Yep. Great movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that movie. I love how they leave it open-ended, too.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, so I'm an absolute horror fanatic. Like, however deep you want to go into it, I'm there for it. Whether it's old Vincent Price movies, Universal.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Italian horror from the 70s all the way up into the early 90s.
Right.
You got my attention on those.
Yeah, there's just something about. Yeah, there's something. I mean, I get that not everybody likes all different types of movies, but when I hear somebody that doesn't like horror movies or the, you know, those type of movies, I'm just like, oh man, you're missing out. What's wrong with them? I do. I think, man, you know, and they look at me like, why do you like them? I'm like, because it's, you like to be scared? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I like to be, you know, uncomfortable and, you know, like whether it's The Shining or Michael Myers or a classic, you know, Wolfman, it's just, I don't know. I like a lot of the Conjuring movies. Those are one of my favorite movies.
Oh, I love those movies.
Yeah, man.
Those movies are great.
Yeah, I just, it's just something about being uncomfortable, scared, frightened, on edge, you know, like,
that's how I was when I watched the first Sinister.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
Oh, yep. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Because you're not sure what's really going on. Yeah. I mean, you know what's going on, but you're not, because they got the camera, you're not seeing who's doing it. And then you find out, you're like, oh, man, that's, yeah, the psychological is great. You know, my daughter is 15, Olivia, and her favorite movie is The Shining. And so I'm a proud dad. Elijah's first horror movie was, I could be wrong, but it was like two Halloween, because he's 12. So I think he was 10 when we let him see the first Halloween on Halloween night, because that's my all-time favorite. And I was like, oh, it's time. We got to get this kid watching the movie, you know. But it's like, oh, now you get to enjoy them like I did as a kid, you know. And so I don't know. I just love horror movies and just the whole storylines and the, you know, whether they're creatures or demons or whatever or just psychopathic killers. Yeah. It's, they're all good, man. I know, I'm with you.
Yeah, I love them all. There's something about just getting, I don't know, it's like, it's almost like a safe way to experience that kind of fight or flight without having to. Yeah, so I think it's a catharsis that people who watch horror movies are seeking, and people who aren't willing to watch horror movies, I've known a few. I don't get it, because it's like, in the end, it's all make believe. You don't have
right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, oh, that's fine. All right, whatever. You know, loser. No, I'm kidding. I don't call him a loser. No,
no names, right?
No, just kidding. Just kidding. That is awesome. I figured you liked horror movies, but I thought, eh, you know, maybe not. Maybe.
No, he just likes writing horror books.
Yeah, sorry. Charlie Brewster last year.
Oh, you did? From Fright Night?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool guy.
Those two movies are two of my favorite ones. So there are a few movies in any genre, but as far as horror movies, if I'm flipping through the channels and I find that in the middle of it, I'm gonna stop and watch it. I love the Fright Night movies. Yeah, I love the characters, and you know they're scary, but they're not. There's some comedy, and those are great. When did you meet him? When did you meet the actor?
I don't know. I want to say last year, maybe May.
Awesome. Oh man, that's cool. I don't think I've ever met any. You know, I've met, like, I'm a big sports guy, so I've met, you know, athletes and coaches and gotten their autographs, but I've never met any actors or anybody in the horror film, you know, industry or anything like that, you know.
I mean, Fright Night's hands down my favorite vampire movie. I know everybody's got their favorites, but then, like, everyone since or before, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Nothing even compares to me.
Yeah, that and my wife and I, she's not big into vampire movies, but we like Dusk Till Dawn with George Clooney. That's a good one. And then I would say The Lost Boys would be my vampire movie.
Yeah, that's a classic. I mean, the soundtrack alone and the guy with the saxophone make it, you know, worth the price.
Oh, yeah. Saxophone, yes.
They have so many memes with that guy. It's funny. I know. My gosh.
I see him everywhere.
They got the ponytail and is he shirtless and all that. Yeah.
I still believe.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, Fright Night is a great one. I've seen the remake from whatever 10-12 years ago, and it was decent. I mean, they did a pretty good job, and I like the actors, but not like the classic, the original. I think 85, 86, something like that. Yeah, I think it was 85. It's good. Good stuff.
Daniel, I had a question, and I know this branches away from what we've been talking about, but I have to ask you while you're on here, just because it's current news, and my gosh, it's in the news all the time now. What is your feeling on not just aliens, but the whole talk of aliens and how it's coming into the news more? You know, not to get too conspiratorial or whatever, but what is your feeling on all of that?
So, I mean, I think there's like three major branches of the paranormal. I think you got cryptozoology, you got the ghost phenomena, and then UFO.
Right.
And Stan Friedman had an interesting way to talk about it. He was interested in the nuts and bolts. He wasn't so much into speculating where the visitors, where these UAVs or UAPs now, or UFOs came from, but the fact that if they're there, they should be nuts and bolts, and there should be the only way we're going to ever like really gain any information from that is to obtain those nuts and bolts. The UFO phenomena thing, I'm not a big believer in aliens visiting us, but I am a big believer in the advancement of technology. And it seems to me that the governments of this planet have always been 20 to 30 years ahead of what's out in the general public.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to line up with the modes of transportation reported for UFOs. I mean, if you think about the flying saucers or Foo Fighters that the World War II pilots saw back, you know, when they were flying over Germany and things like that, you know, they were saucers, and the way they flew seemed almost like they were dealing with a gyroscopic navigation system. And wouldn't you know, it came out, I think it's a Project Paperclip or something like that back in the day. I'm a little fuzzy, so forgive me if I'm not saying the projects correctly, but the Germans were working on flying saucers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They had prototypes. They flew them, and yet, so these things were seen, and now you start to see these like out in New Mexico. Well, where's Area 51? They see them over Dayton in that area. Well, there's Wright-Patterson.
Right.
Uh-huh. Sure. Right.
So when you start to put it together in that capacity, I think it's a very realistic look at the UFOs that most of what we see, that we're probably seeing our own advanced technology being tested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not to discount the possibility that there being aliens and things like that, but I think the most probable and logical explanation for that would most likely be our own government.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. I actually really agree with you, and that's the thing. I've heard upwards of even 75 years or more. Who knows? Like, it's hard to tell because, and I do, and that's the thing that people keep saying. Well, what if there's an alien invasion? I truly think if there's some kind of an alien invasion and it seems to be hostile, it's our government and it's just a big ploy. You know what I mean? Not that that's going to make it any easier, but it's like, I think it's a big ruse, you know, personally, because I do. I think that if it's true aliens or a higher intelligence, they're not going to just sit there and like play around with us mentally, but our government would.
Yeah.
So I feel that same way. I do. I think that's very accurate.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. You make good points. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to be a downer, but yeah, I mean, that's how I read it.
I don't think it's a downer at all. No, I think that's very intuitive, honestly.
Mm-hmm. There's always two sides to the coin.
Yep.
Well, it'll always be little green men. I don't know.
Well, if we're silenced, all four of us will know why.
Yeah.
They're on to us. Oh, no. Yeah.
Let's see. We've got Daniel, Sean, and Anton. Yeah, we made the list. Hey, all right. We are big deals now. No, I agree with you. Yeah, it's yeah, who knows? You know, I don't put a lot of worry into it. I don't know. I think I mentioned that a few episodes ago. I'm like, if they're real or not, if they're what they're intentions are, I've got other stuff to worry about and put my energy in. So,
well, and that's the other thing, like, what are little old us going to do about any of that anyway? To quote a great mind, who of us has ever had in a moment to our life with worry? I mean,
yeah,
it's no reason to worry about it, no reason to focus on it, because your day-to-day life requires your attention and your efforts more than wondering if, you know, the aliens are coming.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, is it interesting? Yes. But is it worth putting it, worry and all that energy? To me, no. I've got a 12 and 15 year old. I'm trying to corral and half the time and trying to figure out where they're going and who's taking them to volleyball practice and when do they play this and that. I'm like, that's got my attention, you know?
To me, it's just weird that it comes up almost every day now.
It does. Like, you're right.
If not that long ago, they would have been like, seriously, that's not news. And now it's like, oh, this is news, you know, like Politico. And I've seen it on all of them where it's like, how to survive an alien invasion. I'm like, looking like, what? Where is this from? No, yeah. This is like actual news. So mm-hmm. It's just very bizarre.
Yeah. And if something happens, so I know where I'm going. So
mm-hmm.
That's another reason why I stopped watching the news, because you kind of got to watch, like, you know, what the magician's greatest trick is to get you watching one hand while the other hand doing the trick.
You got it. Yep. That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, yeah, I don't need that. I'm going to focus on my life. I'm going to focus on the things that I'm passionate about, and I'll deal with the troubles that come up along the way as I need to, because I can't afford to waste my time worrying about any of that stuff. So it's like, it's interesting. They're trying to kind of start to plant that idea in people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A little disconcerting. I mean, now that you brought it up.
Like, now that I got to, sorry.
Well, now Sean's being the downer.
I am taking, we're taking polls on this, and I'm going to put you down. I'm going to put you down as a yes, Daniel.
That's what he does, Daniel.
Solid yes.
That's what he's done that to me a couple of times. That's a yes. I'm like, wait, hold on, wait a minute. It's a solid maybe. I don't know. Oh gosh. Hey Daniel, we don't want to take up any more of your time. We could talk to you for about another 2 hours, but we're going to respect your time. And you probably don't want to talk to us.
3 a.m.
You know, witching hour, baby.
we could try, but I don't know how much of a I don't know how much we're going to make that happen. I don't know if our listeners be like, are they still talking? 8 hour episode? What? Yeah. No. Before we let you go, please tell our listeners how can they follow you. Tell where they can, you know, buy your book and all anything. You know, just promote yourself. So you have the mic.
Hi. You want to read the book, Life is in the Blood? I think anybody who's read it so far hasn't seemed to regret it. So you can get it at Amazon.com. You can get paperback, hardback, softback if you want the signed copy, you can order it through my website, which is danielbouts.com. And there's some merch there as well that you can get, like packages with a signed copy of the book. My Instagram handle is at dbautzy, D-B-A-U-T-Z-Y. That's the main place where I interact with people is Instagram. I mean, I have Facebook and Twitter if you want to follow me there, but I'm pretty much on Instagram, and I feel like that's a great place for a lot of positive interaction.
Sure, sure. Yeah, because we connected on Instagram. So, yeah. Did you say you said you had a website? What's the website again?
DanielBautz.com. That's DanielBautz.com.
Awesome. Yeah, we want to tell our creepies when, you know, you get the book. I know they're going to love it. Make sure you rate and review, because we were talking before the episode started. It's really hard to get people to rate and review. We love, you know, like I said, you love the book sales and we love the downloads, but it's like we want to see a star, at least a star. So, yes, rate and review this guy. Yeah, right. Yeah, rate and review this guy's book. Daniel, we are so pleased to talk, you know, be able to talk to you, and so happy you have your debut book. And you said you are working on your second one. Like, they'll be coming out maybe in, what'd you say, September? Somewhere in there.
Fingers crossed, September. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, anything we can do for you, man? We're that's what we try to do. We try to promote our friends, whether it's their investigators, authors, other podcasters. Anything we can do, let us know. We'll definitely have you on the show again if you're interested. And next fall, we can. Like I said, if you get that, whenever it is, you know, you get that second book out, we'll definitely put the word out for you. So that's what we want to do for our friends. So. That's what we're here for.
Thank you so much, man. I love you guys. You're a great show. You do great things. And I only see you guys getting bigger and bigger. So I really appreciate the opportunity. And I love talking to you guys. I feel like, honest to God, I could sit here and talk to you too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Basically, yeah, we appreciate that. We're, like I said, we're just trying to save you, because like I said, we know you've got other things to do.
Because so. We will talk for 8 hours.
We will talk. We are talkers, so awesome. Well, Daniel, thanks again for coming on. I know the listeners are going to love this episode, and you have a great rest of the night, man. And I'll be talking to you later.
All right. You guys take care.
All right, you too, man.
Daniel, thank you.
See you, brother.
Bye.
Bye. So there you go, creepies. Mr. Daniel Bouts. That was a fun guest chat.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that one, and I knew that was going to be fun. Like, I had expectations for it, and he did not let me down. Thank you, Daniel.
No, he didn't let us.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
He, I think it's cool that he's an author, loves his horror movies and characters, and that was a fun little segment to talk about. And, you know, some of his investigations or tours, a little bit of a paranormal stuff that he's encountered. So, yeah, it was fun. All around, great guest chat.
Next time we have him on.
Thank you for his time.
Thank you, Daniel. Do you think next time we can attempt the 3 a.m. like podcast-a-thon?
Could.
He's willing. I'm willing.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know if we have it in us.
I may fall asleep and hit the stop button.
That was fun, though. Daniel, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. Yeah, we'll definitely have him on again, though. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's exciting.
I can't wait to read his book. That's what I'm excited for.
Life is in the blood, so go order it and rate and review it, please.
Go get you some, right?
Go get you some. And then he's got maybe a second book coming out next fall. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. So, anyway, yeah, great guest chat with Mr. Daniel Bouts. And Sean, what do you have?
I am going to go with a middle-aged moment this time, but I'm actually going to precede it with a quote. Jenna just got me a book this week, as most people know me, which is just everybody anymore. It's been a little bit of a rough week, and Jenna and I, her cousin actually said, you guys should get this book. It's called Signs, The Secret Language in the Universe, and it's by Laura Lynn Jackson. And one of the first quotes that you read in it is by Roald Dahl, the guy that did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh. Yeah.
And above all, watch with glittering eyes the whole world around you, because the greatest secrets are hidden in the most unlikely places. Those who don't believe in magic will never find it. Right. And then this is where Nate starts singing, do you believe in magic? Or not. Nate seems
he's okay. Looking at like
Nate and I didn't work.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Nate and I didn't work this out before. But the song that I want to highlight is something that's very near and dear to my heart. It is the Avett Brothers, No Hard Feelings. Hmm. It is a song that I sang at my uncle's funeral a few years back. I had a little thing written about him, and then I went into talking about this song because it played on the radio after he passed away. I thought about him, and I felt his presence, and this song came on, and I had never really knew much about it or heard much about it, but it's a very touching song. I love the Avett Brothers anyway, but it goes, "When my body won't hold me anymore and it finally sets me free, will I be ready? When my feet won't walk another mile and my lips give their last kiss goodbye, will my hands be steady? When I lay down my fears, my hopes and my doubts, the rings on my fingers and the keys to my house with no hard feelings. When the sun hangs low in the west and the light in my chest won't be kept held at bay any longer. When the jealousy fades away and it's ash and dust for casual lust and it's just hallelujah. And love in thoughts and love in the words, love in the songs they sing in the church and no hard feelings. Lord knows they haven't done much good for anyone. Kept me afraid and cold with so much to have and hold. When my body won't hold me anymore and finally lets me free, where will I go? Will the trade winds take me south through Georgia grain or tropical rain or snow from the heavens? Will I join the ocean blue or run into a savior true and shake hands laughing and walk through the night straight to the light, holding the love I've known in my life and no hard feelings? Lord knows they haven't done much good for anyone. Kept me afraid and cold with so much to have and hold. Under the curving sky, I'm finally learning why it matters for me and you to say it and mean it too. For life and its lovely nest and all of its ugliness, good as it's been to me, I have no enemies. I have no enemies." Hmm. I love that song. It touches my heart. It has definitely been a big one this last week. And I just, I actually was listening to music today and it came on and I'm like, it's one, we have this family text, Jenna and the kids and I, and so when we have something to say to each other, and we can't say it in person, we send it to each other, but a lot of times I end up sending music to them that I've listened to, or that means a lot to me, and that's one that I sent to them, and they'll probably remember me singing that at my uncle's funeral, but it's just, it's one that's touched me, and Daniel, I can tell, he touches a lot of people, and he's going to keep going forward with his career as an author, and I think that's really awesome. He's going to share his gifts, and he's going to share his creative passions with the world, and I think that's awesome. And it does. It reflects on. There's one thing a patient told me recently, ironically, that it was. She said she had brought up to her grandson about leaving legacy, and he said, "She said, what is your legacy going to be?" She said, "He's a farmer, and he's like, and you know, he's around my age or our age." And he said, "Well, I don't know." And she goes, "Well, that's not a very good answer. You know, think about what your legacy is going to be. And if you're not here tomorrow, how will people remember you?" And again, that has been brought up to me, obviously, very recently. So go out there every day, enjoy it, and think about what your legacy is going to be. And that's what this song is all about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What it'll be like, you know, will you harbor resentment? Will people remember for that lovable son of a bitch, or will, you know, or will they remember you for the love that you made them feel? They're going to remember the emotions you made them feel more than anything, you know? So mm-hmm. I think about that now, especially more than ever. So
nice. Good job.
And I did say SOB, didn't I?
Yes. You didn't say
that's
SOB.
Not, that's not just we'll shortness you, of breath.
We'll let you slide this.
Let that slide. I know. A little emotional.
You're on a roll there, but that is okay. Well, thank you for that.
No problem.
Now let's move on to the second announcements.
Second part of the announcements, we would love for you to follow us on all social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter. You can email us at our email address. That is makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Catch our Tuesday Terror videos on all of our social media accounts. We are on anything that you can listen to. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating review. And review our show if the app does allow. Please share our show. Word of mouth means everything. Even texting or emailing the show to someone really does help. We sell very cool merch, so go get you some, right? We also offer sponsorship opportunities for episode segments.
and our Tuesday Terror videos. Individuals and businesses are both welcome. Please email us for more information.
Excellent job.
Thank you.
Excellent job. Nate?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. That's a wrap.
Oh, wow.
I keep yawning.
You do, but that's okay.
You keep laughing at me. I see you. I've been up since 4:30.
Hey, I got up at 10:30. Okay.
I thought he was going to say this is the final bounce or something like that.
Oh.
Oh, I outdid you on that one. I'm going to get the job one of these days. No,
he's trying to undercut your zero.
Trying.
Hey, that's all right.
Brain shutting down.
Brain a dream.
Yeah. We'll accept it. So, hey, we want to thank you, Creepies, though, for listening to episode 104 in our awesome guest chat with the author and friend of the show, Daniel Bouts. And until next time, Nate is your award-winning sound engineer. And we are your and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.